Hello again, now's the first hints of the arriving autumnal weather. Just start creeping out of their slumbers. What do we all think as we first open our eyes every increasingly late sunrise morning? That's it. We're on the same wavelength. Preschool vaccinations. Oh yeah. Well, just for those who have an active interest in the stuff, maybe, just quickly. At age 3 and 4 months or older, we offer 2 vaccines routinely. Ask a GP surgeon, of course, about this. It's a booster for a couple of childhood jabs. Diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis and polio, and the good old MMR, measles, mumps, rubella, or German measles. Setting the children's immune system up for the incoming tides of viruses awaiting them in early September. The preschool jabs, not as traumatic for all concerned, fewer in number, and there was just 2, and on with the rest of the day, really. This week brought news of a significant increase in asthma deaths in the UK for 2018. Indeed, the highest in a decade. Interestingly, the spike in numbers, more prominent in those living in the southeast of the UK. And in men, only the 35 to 45 age groups. Not a pattern really expected. Lots of reasons for this have been expanded, and all probably have some truth in small measure or other. From socioeconomic to pollution rates, climate change, prescription charges, less GP availability, or difficulty accessing appointments. All this as our doctors and in particular our nursing teams are becoming more proficient with new and wider choices of medications, inhalers, access to more detailed assessments of the chest function via spirometry in the GP surgery setting. Lots of things. Asthmatics will recognise the things called peak flow meters that allow you to measure, well, your airways or lungs, how they are transmitting or ostensibly pushing out of your lungs the air. Something we term expiration, breathing out. Asthma produces blockages in this function in all manner of ways. From simply tiny circular muscle groups being tightened up as they are surrounded by millions of minute tubes leading from the business end of the lungs, the alveoli, where your bloodstream and inhaled gases know to be oxygen in and carbon dioxide out, they move in and out with each breath. These so-called Turner bronchioles, medium and slightly larger bronchioles, can thankfully be stimulated to relax and thus open up the airways, allowing better lung function. The classic treatment for that, the 1960s invention, Ventolin. I think invented it in 1966, I recall, launched in, 1968 or 69. A UK discovery, making Allen Hanbury's in Hertfordshire, a subsidiary of the giant Glaxo Group, a fortune, no doubt, before the dreaded patent expiry dates arrived. Nowadays, that's known as salbutamol. Or in the States, I think it's called albutamol. For organic chemists, it's the distal butyl group, in other words, the 4 carbons with either H2 or H3 components that give salbutamol the unique action. But you probably knew that already. Weirdly, not licensed in the United States until the early 80s. It's now one of the leading 10 so-called essential medicines in the world, a British innovation. Hooray! It's what folks routinely, call meds about, regularly. Doc, I've ran out of my inhaler. Never the preventative one, the steroid-containing variety, the real reason why your asthma is much better controlled. Oh no, it's the salbutamol they all clamour for, the little blue one. It works in a minute or two, lasting in theory about 3 or 4 hours in its actions. This little nudge giving you the idea we're not really very keen on just salbutamol. Just alone. They're simply painting damp-proof stuff on the wall when the leaking gutter is actually causing the problem in the first place. Asthma is not, repeat not, just about narrow airways causing wheezing. It's a complex reaction involving significant so-called inflammation of the airways. A reaction to a variety of assaults of our lungs and possibly just as pertinently, what our bodies do and how they react in these circumstances. For example, every year, in the Isle of Man, in winter, we see lots of babies with so-called bronchiolitis. a common condition, a chest inflammation caused by the so-called RSV virus, respiratory syncytial virus. It produces wheezing and crackly chests in those babies and make them really quite breathless sometimes. Some of them have to be admitted for oxygen. Not great. Scary for the parents. But weirdly, by age 4, most children probably have antibody evidence of having at least some contact with this virus, but only a small proportion develop bronchiolitis. Others probably just showing up as a, well, slight runny nose or a tiny cough. Later, as older children, we then find that these definite asthmatic sufferers often had a bout of bronchiolitis as infants. So it's part of the body reaction that governs our asthma tendency, hence it's almost normal to hear the family story tell us, oh, well, mummy, daddy, uncle, auntie, such and such, oh, we've all got asthma. It's a multi-pronged thing, nature versus nurture, inheritance of certain features versus environmental exposure. Golly, us humanoids, and we are complexity, diversity, idiosyncratic. Definitely. For one size does not fit all. Never has, it never will. Till next week, cheerio.